Hari Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 12. The cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Pratigya. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart. Adhyaya Prakashika. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan, and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Rai again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Rai to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Prataparudra. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundicha temple before the Ratha Yatra took place. He then took his bath at Indradumna Lake and partook of prasadam in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, the Gaudiya Vaishnava washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. When the son of Advaita Prabhu named Gopal fainted during kirtan, and when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasadam. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone, and that it was not the duty of a household Brahmin to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaitacharya was a monist and that he could not know how his mind could be turned. One could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. So one's saying he's unknown because he's beyond the modes, beyond everything, so no one can know him. But he's just making it as socially he's unknown, like that. So then you know you're not supposed to, a Brahmin's not supposed to eat with someone who doesn't known or some character or some standard, because you're careful about association. And Nityananda Prabhu, because he's a Dvaita, because he's non-different from Krishna, then is saying, you're a monist. And so, what might happen to your mind by sitting with a monist? Right? The conversation, these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon, Srup Damodar and others took their prasadam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the period of the deity's retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were very pleased. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 71. The devotees appeal to the Lord to meet Maharaj Prataparudra. 72 to 150, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. 151 to 203, the post-cleaning feast. 204 to 222, the Netrotsava. Verses 1 to 71. The devotees appeal to the Lord to meet with Maharaj Prataparudra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made it as cool and bright as his own heart. And thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. All glories to Gaurachandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Sri Vasa Thakur. I beg their power so that I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South Indian tour, Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, became very anxious to meet him. The king sent a letter from his capital, Cuttack, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission so that he could go and see him. Replying to the king's letter, the Bhattacharya wrote that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf. All the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed towards me. They can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. If Gaur Hari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door. When the Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that King Prataparudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees gave their opinion and said, the Lord will never meet the king, and if we request him to do so, the Lord will surely feel very unhappy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then said, we shall go once again to the Lord, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king. Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not utter even a word. After they arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, the Lord, seeing them, said, what have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason? Nityananda Prabhu then said, we want to tell you something, although we cannot stay without speaking. We are still very much afraid to speak. We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this, unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What if they make the earring by just cutting a piece of the ivory and making a hole in the middle? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the Purport Prabhupada explains that there's a tribe of mendicants who are known by wearing that ivory earring.
Yes.
And you would be part of this. You would move with them.
Okay.
Begging.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada. In India, there is still a class of professional mendicants. Oh, I see. These professional mendicants right here are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical process, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading, sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanafata yogis. The word kanafata refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Oh. Now they don't wear ivory. I think it's wood. They make a hole in the ear here and make a big ring like that. It's not down here. They don't put it here.
Inside the earlobe.
Yeah, no, not in the earlobe. In here.
Well, in here.
Yeah, you see people wearing that in here.
Yes.
Up higher.
Yeah.
You know, it goes flat, and so in here they make a hole here and put a big, huge, like this big thing in there. But nowadays you see them as wood.
Yeah, wood.
Probably because ivory, just you can't get ivory. Before there'd be so much ivory, so many elephants. Because the elephants, So what happens with the elephants is that their tusks, you know, they're like nails, and it just keeps growing. So then, one, it becomes a whole problem for them because they're not out in the forest where they're kind of like digging and this and that, so it'll kind of like, you know, keep it short. You know, it's like rats. They have to keep chewing on things to keep the teeth short. Otherwise, the teeth keep growing. And so, you know, there'd be that. But when the ones that are, you know, in captivity and doing service, then when it grows out, there's a certain length they keep it. So when it grows more, they just cut that bit off. You know, they don't do anything more like that. And then they put those gold rings on it. And then when it grows out more, they'll cut it again and move them back. So there's a certain length that it looks nice. They can still do things, but it doesn't get in the way. Because they move through cities and this and that. There's big, long, they can get huge. So in that way, you get ivory. Plus, if an elephant dies, the bones are ivory.
Well, the bones, too.
Bones are also ivory. Sure. It's not first-grade ivory. The tusks are the best ivory, but the bones are also ivory. That's why, that Bengali saying, morta hati lak taka, live or dead, the elephant's worth the same. If you want to buy the elephant, it costs this much. If he's dead, he's still worth that much because the bones are all there. Like the bones they take, they'll make things like, you know, these ivory swings and other things, they do that with the bones. So it's very...
Furniture also. Furniture.
Furniture, yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like these, how you say, couches and things like that, reclining. They're generally like on the inner part of the house and stuff. Yeah. So in those days, tons of elephants, tons of this, they're taking care nicely and all that. Then that nowadays, because it's valuable, then you have all these low class people go out and hunt them. They kill them, and then because if you cut it off, you lose this much. So they just pull it out from the root.
Poachers.
Yeah, poachers. Yeah, so they're just, you know, they're not very nice. So that's then caused so much problem. But before, they used to just take care very nicely and everything like that. They never bother the elephants. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. If everyone's God-conscious and leadership is God-conscious, then all facilities are there. No one's unsatisfied. You know, Prabhupada is explaining that the Adiatmic, Adibhautik, and Adidaivic kleshas, they don't bother anybody if the king's... Like when Yudhishthira rules, those things won't exist. It'll never get too hot or too cold. Mm-hmm. You know, no one will be there, won't be, you know, mentally in anxiety, or others will not give trouble. You know, all these things. It's very peaceful. That's how you know there's good governance, when these three are gone. You know, like that. The word kanapata, okana means ear, and pata means, yeah, like hole. Or, refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Prataparudra was so depressed by not getting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivy earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Prataparudra also thought to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring. So he just thought, you know, the mendicants, that's what they do, so he thought, because that's the local thing.
Also, Charachandra Prabhu writes that sometimes these earrings are such a way that they curve up and block the sound. So sometimes yogis, they just want to be meditating themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, they go right in front of it. It means they're here, so then they're... It would generally be above. It would go from here to here, you know, in this place. But, yeah, you probably could move them so that they could block the sound. But by the sounds of it, they're not standard yogis. They're just professional yogis. 2.12.21.23. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his eyes full of satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened, but externally he wished to speak some harsh words. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally the reservoir of all kindness. And as soon as he heard the statement made by the king, his heart immediately softened. Thus the Lord was ready to go see the king, even at Cuttack. He did not even consider allowing the king to come from Cuttack to Jagannath Puri to see him. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that he was ready to go to see the king at Cuttack. Apparently, it was never expected that the king wanted to see the Lord at his place. But by way of being externally harsh, the Lord indicated that if all the devotees so desire, he would go to Cuttack to see the king. You know, but then you always have the thing is that, oh, if he goes, then he might keep going. Okay, I saw the king. Now I'm leaving. I'm going to the dock. You know, so it's all the...
Cuttack is Cuttack, right? It's not Konark.
No, Konark is Madhya Pradesh.
No, Konark is an hour by bus north of Puri, where they have the...
Oh, no, no. Cuttack, that's more towards Bengal. That's the capital. It's above Bhubaneswar that I know.
Yeah,
Bhubaneswar, then you have, I think, Cuttack.
Oh, okay.
Cuttack, then after that, then you straight enter into Bengal.
Yeah.
Badrak is there.
Yeah, Badrak. That's near Cuttack, huh? Or yeah. That's farther up.
Towards.
Yeah, because that was always somehow or another the seat was here. But he does have a place in Puri. Right? So you saw before he had come down to Puri and was seeing there. And it appears that he's gone back now. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "What to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people? Damodar would chastise me. I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission." Damodar means Srup Damodar.
Damodar Pandit.
Because he's the one that always chastises.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ultimately, it gets fired.
From the spiritual point of view, sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see materialistic people, especially a king who is always engaged in counting pounds, shillings, and pence. Indeed, the meeting between a sannyasi and a king is always considered abominable. A sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism, and a small fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. People actually expect a sannyasi to preach and not take part in any social or political matters. The sannyasi is subject to public criticism. His preaching will not be fruitful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to avoid such criticism so that his preaching work would not be hampered. It so happened that while the Lord was talking to his disciples at that time, the devotee Damodar Pandit was present. This Damodar Pandit was a very faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that if Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. There was deep meaning in the statement. It is a warning that Damodar should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it was not befitting his position as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered the guide and spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them, and the Lord rendered Damodar Pandit a special favor by warning him to avoid criticizing him any further. A devotee or disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. Sutra 12:26-34. Damodar immediately replied, "My Lord, you are the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know that you know what is permissible and what is not permissible. I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give directions to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet with the king. I shall see it. The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love towards him. Thus, and I can understand by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature." Nityananda Prabhu then said, Who is there in the three worlds who can ask you to see the king? Still, isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object? For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. There is a way, he suggested, by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outer garments to the king would live hoping to see you sometime in the future. Srila Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was thus very tactfully suggesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give a piece of his old clothing to the king. Even though the king was not to meet the Lord, the king would then be pacified by receiving such a cloth. The king was very anxious to see the Lord, yet it was not possible for the king to see him. Just to resolve the situation, Nityananda Prabhu suggested that the Lord send an old piece of clothing. Thus the king would understand that the Lord was showing mercy to him. The king would then not do anything drastic like giving up his life or becoming a mendicant. Mm-hmm. 2:12:35-38. The Lord said, "Since you are all very learned personalities, whatever you decide, I shall accept." Lord Nityananda Prabhu then obtained an external garment used by the Lord by requesting it from Govinda. Thus, Nityananda Prabhu delivered the old cloth into the care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent it to the king. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Srila Prabhupada. This is also the conclusion of the Vedic injunctions. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth, everything in relation to him is on the same platform. The king had great affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and although he did not see the Lord, he had nonetheless already attained the conclusion of devotional service. Immediately upon receiving the cloth, Immediately upon receiving the cloth from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the king began to worship it, accepting it as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord's clothing, bedding, slippers, and everything required as an ordinary necessity are all transformations of Shesha, Vishnu, the expansion of Sri Baladev. Okay, so he was sending him himself. Okay. Thus, the cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but other forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything connected to the Lord is worshipable. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that just as Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's place, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And as Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly the paraphernalia in Vrindavan, the trees, roads, river, everything is worshipable. A pure devotee thus sings, "Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Jata Jana." All glories to the residents of Vrindavan. If a devotee has a staunch devotional attitude, all these conclusions will be awakened or revealed within the heart. Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tata Gurao Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:23. Thus, following the footsteps of Maharaj Prataparudra and other devotees, we should learn to worship everything belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 2:12:39-44. After returning from his service in South India, Ramananda Rai requested the king to allow him to remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Ramananda Rai requested the king to allow him to stay with the Lord, the king immediately gave him permission with great satisfaction. As for the king himself, he began to solicit Ramananda Rai to make a meeting arrangement. The king told Ramananda Rai, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful to you. Therefore, please solicit my meeting with him without fail." The king and Ramananda Rai returned together to Jagannath Kshetra Puri, and Sri Ramananda Rai met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Ramananda Rai informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the ecstatic love of the king. Indeed, as soon as there was some opportunity, he repeatedly informed the king about the Lord about the king. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. Srila Prabhupada. A diplomat in the material world knows how to deal with people, especially in political affairs. Some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Ramananda Rai, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, were government officers and had a background of very opulent household life. Consequently, they knew how to deal with people. Right, because they're deep. Because if you're in a position of authority or wealth, then people are around. You know, as Prabhu, mentioned. You know, if you have money, sometimes all the relatives are around and so happy to see you and everything like that. So there's a diplomatic way to deal with people. It's just the proper way to deal. How you speak, when you speak, the timing of it. What you say, at what time, you know, waiting and all these things. So just they know these things. Consequently, they knew how to deal with people. In many instances, we have seen the diplomacy of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Ramananda Rai employed in the service of the Lord. When Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were to be arrested by government officials, Raghunath Das Goswami hid them and personally met the government officials and settled the affair diplomatically. This is but one instance. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami, after resigning his ministership, was thrown in jail, and he bribed the attendant of the jail so he could leave the clutches of the Nawab and live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we see Ramananda Rai, a most confidential devotee of the Lord, diplomatically soften the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite the fact that the Lord definitely decided not to meet the king. The diplomacy of Ramananda Rai and entreaties of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the other great devotees succeeded. The conclusion is that diplomacy used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service.
I was about to ask. It's a fine line. Because you could be diplomatic, and if it's not used properly, even if it's for the purpose of devotional service, it can be taken as, you know, political or sarcastic or manipulative.
Why do they know diplomacy? Right, and what is it said before? He said. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert. Right? So expert, then that's in the 26 qualities called daksha. And Prabhupada, in one class, he was mentioning that point as being professional. You know, being very expert, being professional. So nowadays, you know, it's kind of a buzzword of being professional, you know? But it's professional from the corporate point of view, not from Shastra and the 26 qualities of the devotees or, devotees or devotional service. So then that's where the problem comes up. And so so then you're dealing with this political, but that political is for what? It's for material gain. You know, either a position, authority, facility, you know, accomplishing something you want. Like that, you know, I doubt it's being used for liberation and stuff like that. So it's all within that realm of karma. And so then diplomacy gets a bad name. Even though, diplomacy has a bad name according to political correctness. Diplomacy is a part of it, but the other is this correctness that's political. But somehow or another, political correctness is taken as such a gentle and proper term, but the word right at the front is political. Is correctness according to politics, you know, or politics that are correctly done, however you want to look at it. But if you use the term diplomacy, then oh, that's very bad. You know, just like discrimination, oh, that's very bad. Even though, you know, you can tell the difference between like your shoes and someone else, but oh, you're discriminating, why aren't you seeing all shoes equal? You know, so The difficulty comes up is that if we ourselves are taking a material position and perspective, then we can't understand these qualities engaged in the Lord's service.
It's actually quite subtle.
It's very subtle. But that's the whole point, is that it's subtle. But the point is all qualities, they all have their glory in connection with Krishna. And nothing has any glory if it's not connected to Krishna. That's the difficulty, is those who know the diplomacy, practically, in reality, could use it for Krishna or not. And once they're trained, then they take it up, because they've already dealt in the material. They know it's not that great. It's a useful tool. It's just like you want to peel potatoes, use a potato peeler. But it's not like it's a big thing. Hey, I got a potato peeler. Hey, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be peeling some potatoes. What are you going to be doing? You have a potato peeler? You know, that kind of jazz. So it's just, that's what's used. And then there's something higher. That's Krishna consciousness. But then if we take up political correctness and all these things, then the difficulty is we're not from a background of power and influence and wealth and all these things. Because you see, those who are, they're the most gentle people around. You know? Like that. Generally. There are exceptions. But, you know, they can be proud. But otherwise, the tendency is that if they do surrender and they don't have that attitude, then they're very, very gentle. Because for them, working with the material world's easy. And it does, and it's not satisfying. So then they want something beyond that. So the Krishna consciousness. So then they can use it nicely, because it needs to be used wherever it's supposed to be used. The point is this idea of diplomacy is bad. We just want the truth. We just want facts. This is all totally bogus. It's just Sesha Prabhu said, called it, it's a red herring. You know, it means it's just put out there as that something to make it look like you're doing something nice, but it's not. It's a red herring because they have their own agendas. They just don't like anybody else who's actually better at it than them. You know, but if you're so good, it should be that they don't even notice. You know, so that's what, when you study these self-help books, they're teaching you diplomacy. But somehow or another, that was considered politically correct. As long as it's coming from the corporate world, then it's all right. If it's coming from any other, you know, coming from the Brahminical, coming from the Kshatriya, then no, then it's bogus. You know, so it's a difficulty, is that expert means you're doing these things to please the Lord. And it has to be that's your intent. You can say, well, how can we know? But the point is how do you know anything's right? Right? It's a matter of if it's being done to please the Lord. It means in service, that's okay. But then the service has to be favorable and it has to be free from karma and yon. Just because it's service, that's a start and that's good. So if somebody's political and they're engaging that in doing service, then that's always going to be purifying. But if it's not free from karma and jnana, it will have some reactions. Mm. Like that. It'll displease others, you will be displeased, like this kind of thing. So then, the point is that when we're... So the emphasis... By putting the emphasis on no diplomacy and that, being politically correct and that, it won't bring you closer to Krishna. It has to be focusing on pure devotion, free from karma and jnana. Mm. You know, favorable to Krishna. Like, what is Krishna like? Do it that way. Like, you hear there's a whole big thing going on here about a varnashram aspect. And at the same time, we'll say, oh, we don't care for varnashram. So how is that in any way, shape, or form pleasing to Lord Chaitanya? On which day of the week, or which week of the year, or which month of which century, or which century and which millennia, you know? So it's like it can't be defined. But the problem is that then, you know, we ourselves might end up in a position we don't like, because it's all about prestige. You know, who's in control, who's got, you know, all these things. But if we give that up, then who cares? Because the point is the conditioning isn't us, but that's what the conditioning is. So you use it for Krishna. So those who can use these things, then they should be using them for Krishna, because then they can do so much with and get so many nice things done for the Lord. So many difficulties come up, you can take care of it. Like you see, is that when there was a big court case in New York, and Adi Keshava Maharaj was taking care of it, and Prabhupada was telling him what to do. And it worked out like that. And he would say things that we would never say, and the judge would agree with them. You know, like that. So that's the thing, is that if you know what you're doing, you know how to deal with people. These other things is we're just afraid. Oh, this could be bad. That could. So people sit around in a room disconnected and then project that, oh, this would be bad. Like, I remember there was one PhD, I think they were situated in Maine, in America, that's up in the north, and nothing's up there. Nobody, you never hear of anything happening there. But they were commenting about how the whole world should function, political correctness and this and that. Maybe amongst a few of their associates, these things might have some meaning or not. But the whole rest of the world is going on fine without any of that. But they, for a time, for a few years, they made a very big, a lot of waves, a lot of stink. So that's the problem, is we get disconnected from reality and then say, oh no, it's not like that. You can't do that. What do you mean? Most of the, probably 9/10 of the world does do that. You know? Oh, but it's not very cultured. But at the same time, is always finding faults, not very cultured either. So the whole point is it comes down to, how is it being used in the Lord's service? How is it favorable to the Lord? How is it free from karma and jnana? That's what has to be seen. And it's also, it's the fourth principle of the Vaishnava etiquette, is that you avoid those who are not favorable, those who can't, who are not interested, those who are atheistic, those who reject the personal position of the Lord or, you know, the devotees and Shastra. But at the same time, political correctness is all about pleasing that particular group that will never become a devotee. Why not work on the first three? The Supreme Lord, he's cool with devotional service. The advanced devotees, they're also cool with devotional service. The other mature devotee, they're cool with devotional service. The innocent, they're interested in devotional service. The group that's not interested, that makes the criticism, that's the group that we have to be politically correct and please. And that's where it ends. The other groups have no problem. It means you're supposed to be cultured, and devotee is poetic. You know, he's considerate. All these things. So they're sensitive to this. They're not gross and all that. You know, and they're daksha, they're experts, so they know how to deal and all that. But people that are afraid, they've been burnt, then everything. You know, they've been in a fire, so everything red is fire. No, it's just, you know, the rug has some red lines in it. No, we have to get rid of that. So the point is we base it all on our experience, our bad experience, and therefore that's the way everything is. But no, that's by your bad karma, that's your experience. Now you have to look into it and decide and figure out what is useful and what's not, rather than throw out the whole thing. Otherwise, baby thrown out with bathwater is pretty standard these days. So we have to be very, very careful here, because that's the point. And we'll notice that Prabhupada, to establish these points, had no problem dealing with points like this, right in your face.
You mean being diplomatic?
Being diplomatic, but also just knowing what word annoys somebody, and then specifically using that word, but explaining it always in the context of Krishna. First, they're establishing how it's not wrong. And then having established that, show then how it's properly used in Krishna's service. Probably do that very regularly. Because the point is we get this mundane idea of culture and everything like that. What's culture? It means, you know, our idea of what's culture. But the point is our idea of what's cultured, in principles of it might be good. But the detail many times is lacking. And so therefore, then you want to move forward. You have to know what the standard. The standard is, it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. It's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't matter how nice it is, it's still not good. Because the point is when it says that, you know, we're not being too, you know, we're not keeping intimate association of that with materialists, That means both good and bad. But we take it, oh, bad people, yeah, we don't associate. But materially pious, they're perfectly fine. No, they'll distract you just as much. One will make you sinful, the other will make you pious, and neither of them are devotional service. You can say, no, but the pious is better for devotional service only if you engage it in devotional service. If you don't, it's a waste of time. But it's taken, no, it has a value on its own. Mundane morality on its own is good, it's solid, it's real, and then from that we can build on that for devotional service. But that's against that's not what the philosophy says. Bhakti is the source of that karma, not the other way around. So these are actually major weaknesses in someone's understanding of the philosophy. And why? Due to doubts and misgivings. They have a misgiving about the word. They don't want to touch it. At the same time, as that same person who's saying that, was he not marching in the streets, you know, back in the 60s? That was not political. But because it was against authority, it's all right. And now they're the authority. Now is it all right we march against them? So now, no, but they use the same principle. I march against authority. So now I am the authority, but what's the authority above me? That's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And so that will gain nobody any glory. Nothing at all. I mean, like, it tends to work in the negative. So one has to be very, very careful. Though devotees are, you know, in their own mind, because of, you know, lack of association or lack of studying or whatever it is, or just, you know, taking things for granted, they're sincerely trying to do things nice for Krishna and for Prabhupada, and they want to do something like that. But at the same time, they have to be very, very careful that they're not mistaking mundane elements and therefore getting in the way. You know, so it's that's the way it goes. But yes, diplomacy is proper. Everything's diplomacy simply means that, as Prabhupada said, diplomat knows how to deal with people. That's all. If someone says, no, you have to deal with people, like, that's diplomacy. But if you call it diplomacy, oh, no, you can't call it diplomacy. Right. You can use it, just can't use the name. So that's a form of mundane attachment. That's a form of materialism. It's not a spiritual concept. Because it's one thing, so when you're dealing with the karmis, you're careful. But I'm talking about conversations with devotees in the Sangha of devotees, in meetings with devotees, that it's only about devotees and everything. Nothing's dealing with the karmis at all. And all these, you can't use the words, you can't use this, you can't use that. And so it's just material. You can't discuss properly the philosophy. You know, if there is a fault, yes, you're using your presentation and you're being too gross and all that, then show how to refine that. But don't change the philosophy. Don't neglect the philosophy. Don't neglect the culture and religion. And then it works really nice. So here, Raghunath, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Ramananda Rai. I mean, these are literally the leaders of our movement. And they know how to deal with people. Prabhupada is very expert.
In Jiva Goswami, I dealt with the kings in Vrindavan. I convinced them to sign property.
Yeah, no, he is very good. Also Narottam Das Thakur, Srivas Thakur. They all, because you have to work with people. That's how you can do. People that get things done in a big way in the material world know how to do this. And if we say it's bad, you know, then, you know, nothing gets done. At the same time, we say professional, but this is what is professional. But it's only to get Krishna's work done. That's what Prabhupada says. Then, used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Not used in the service of the Lord, yeah, it's just mundane like anything else. But in any case, you still have to use it.
And I should depend on the intent.
Intent, yes.
Because we see, like in Duryodhana was a politician.
Yes.
And Yudhishthira also.
Yudhishthira knew how to deal. Arjuna knew how to deal. They all knew how to deal.
It is dependent.
You know, it's just like when Dhritarashtra, you know, said afterwards, oh, I was just testing you and all that, you know, because your sons are here, you know, my sons and my brother's sons are all here and that. And you can see is that my sons are only motivated by you know, improper, you know, materialistic things like that, but Yudhishthira always follows Dharma, Bhima is always valorous, Arjuna is always patient, you know, yeah, Draupadi is always chased, and he mentions these things and gives everything back. Yeah. Why? I mean, so he was being, it was correct that he did that, but he was being diplomatic because the jackals and the vultures were howling inside the temple room, in the deity room. And so that sign itself means the destruction of the dynasty. Up to that point, he was not disagreeing with anything. But with that, then he understood, everybody's saying this will destroy. And he said, how will this destroy? No, it's fine. When this happened, then he goes, oh. And then he gave everything back. So diplomacy, even for the bad people, they use it nicely because they want to be nice and everything like that. So this whole idea, no, it's, you know, this brutal, you know, how do you call it, they call it honesty and these things. These are all just uncultured people. And in the end, it'll destroy them. Right? Because, you know, the point is it's not about facts, as we see from the Natya Shastra. It's not about facts, it's about the experience. And so you had a bad experience in this, but the point is it wasn't connected to Krishna. Now, how to connect to Krishna? No, you say, but the devotee did this, but was that connected to Krishna? How is it supposed to be done? What would be the proper? That's not discussed. No, it's just, I got a bad experience, that's all. But this is it a devotional experience? That's not being discriminated. I'm a devotee, so anything I experience, then I can use and call it devotional. So we have to be very careful. So that's why it's subtle. But at the same time, it's very easy. It's just for Krishna. Then it works very nicely. Then you have to. That's how everything works. Everybody does it. Anybody successful does it. We're talking about being professionals. That's one of the main things they know, how to talk. Like that. You know, I've seen some devotees that by culture, they're really, really simple and very, very rustic. Right? But at the same time, they can walk into a government minister's office, a sitting minister, powerful minister, and just tell them what to do. You know, I need you to sign this and that, this person, this, that, and that. You know, they can get it done. They can just walk in and do that. You know, they've been sitting there and that, and something happened with their phone. It ran out of battery. They asked the minister for his phone because he has to send a message to somebody. How is that happening? Because he knows how the diplomacy works. He's just so good at it, you know. I've seen others like that. We had a kid that would take the kids around, Gus around on tours. They loved how he would deal and what he would say and everything like that. Just people like it, you know. And who do they make chairman and this and that? The ones who are better at speaking. So the thing is that they want that, but you can't use the term. You know, and then, oh, it's here. So this is, you know, put it on the list for things to change in the books.
Who knows? Maybe it's already gone.
Yeah, you know, put it on the list of 1,001 things to change. We can, all the ifs, ands, buts, periods, commas, capital letters at the beginning of a sentence, indented paragraphs or the gap between paragraphs, page numbers. Chapter headings,
Yeah,
and the, you know, and what chapter it is, all that, and the borders can all stay.
Like that.
Yeah. So the main thing is that when something's connected to Krishna for his pleasure, it becomes perfect. When it's connected to Krishna, but not necessarily for his pleasure or without karmic, then it becomes, you know, through proper understanding or for knowledge or partial knowledge and like that. But bona fide, it's purifying. Like that. But it's still not as satisfying if it's being done to please Krishna himself. Like that. So, the point is, Shastra already explains how to do everything on the material platform. There's nothing that's not explained. It's just a matter of having the character to understand it. You know, just like we were discussing in Natya Shastra. How many actors would understand that the whole purpose of a drama or a presentation would be for the audience to experience emotions that uplift their consciousness? Probably you could take all the, you know, thespians on the planet, give them this, you know, this question and all that, and you probably would never get the answer as Bharat Muni explains it. You know, they might say that the audience should have an experience, but never that it's supposed to elevate consciousness. You know, one or two here or there might say, but you probably find they're old ones or weird ones or, you know, stuff like that. You know, or they already have an Oscar so they can afford to say things that people won't like. You know? Yeah. So the point is it's not understood. So that's why as you go to the karmis, it will always be wrong. You take the technique. I've never seen any of these, you know, in sense. I think it was back in the, when was this would have been? When was the cubby? Yeah, but I kind of remember it being back in the 80s, even.
Cubby?
Yeah, 70s, 80s. I remember I was talking about the four quadrants. Which quadrant is that, Prabhu? And, you know, this win-win, Prabhu, and, you know, all that kind of jazz. But I've never seen anybody actually able to use it. If you're not already using it, you can't use it. Right? Because what's the title of the book? Seven Habits, now it's Eight Habits.
Well, Seven Covey.
Yeah.
That was in the 80s.
That was in the 80s, yeah. Seven Habits of Successful People means they're already doing it. They didn't have to read the book. And if you read the book, doesn't mean you can use it.
Yes.
Because the point is if you were successful, you'd be using this. You're not using this. And just because you read it doesn't mean you can do it.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's just like if we put out a book, How to Be an F1 Driver. You know, does that mean I can't even ride a bicycle? And then, you know, I'm reading this. Yeah, you know, so, yeah, he wasn't doing this at the turn and this and that. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, so.
The secret.
Yeah, then the secret. Yeah, each one of these comes up. It becomes a thing. Everyone talks about it. But where does it hit the ground? Right? Two things don't hit the ground, the demigods and the ghosts. Right? The demigods make things work. So therefore, what's the point?
It's pleasant.
Hmm?
When the demigods are around, the whole ambience becomes
pleasant.
Yeah,
no, it's pleasant. Okay. So the whole point is that you don't have, it's not the way to approach it. The point is it's Krishna's creation. He tells how to do it. Prabhupada gives direction. And that principle, there might be some detail that you might pick up from those, you know, practical people in the world, but it has to be within our context. You look at it in their context, it'll always be wrong. They're only in that position because of karma. They're doing it because of karma. Today they do this, it's successful. Tomorrow they do this, they don't. Nothing works. So many people do exactly the same thing. How many kids have sat in garages and made plans? Right? And a few of them, then they become billionaires. What about all the other kids? You know?
Google, Apple, and Microsoft.
Hmm?
Google, Apple,
and Microsoft. Yeah, they all started in a garage by teenagers. How many teenagers in garages? Right? You know, so, but, you know, where is it happening? So that's the whole point is that it's just by karma, it just works. The modes work, they make the decision that they aspire. But then there's a point where they make decisions, nothing works anymore. And then they just fade away. So therefore, there's a law to the universe. And they happen to, by karma, are doing it. So that's all right to pick up a few points from them. As they're there, they're observing. It's not that they don't make some good points. Some good observations. But if you don't see it in the context of Krishna and how it works with Krishna, then there's a good chance you won't be able to apply it. As is evident of the last 40 years in trying to use these things. You know, I mean, it makes it feel good. But, you know, feel good may not be enough to actually manage something. You know, that you're inspired, that's always a good thing. But at the same time, if you can't inspire others, then it's not leadership. So here, how to deal with people. And you see the most famous person in the early days, they knew how to deal with people. Karandar could deal with people. Bhavananda Maharaj could deal with people, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhaktidas, you know, Swavas. They can deal with people. And that's why they're successful. Not because of any technique. They know how to deal with people. And therefore, they can inspire people, get things done, work with them. They know or don't know. He's just like Radhanath Maharaj. I would kind of doubt he would in any way, shape, or form see himself as a manager. You know? But he knows how to deal with people. Therefore, people who are managers, he calls, he works with them and things like that, inspires them, they come up with the ideas, they make the plan. You know, he gives direction so that it's Krishna conscious. And then they engage their nature of being able to organize things in Krishna's service by his direction, even though he's not a manager. And then he has this, they have management things that nobody else has. You know? Like that. So that's the whole point. You know, at one point, probably it should be noticed that Indians aren't bad. You know, it's always about, oh, Indians, why we have to listen to them. But like Chopati, you know, what they do. Juhu, what they, you know, it's like lakhs, I think 7 lakhs of people go through the place for darshan on Janmashtami night. You know, anybody else could do that? You know? Like that. In manner, then so much big things there is because they have these Indian guys that are organizing. Yeah. Like that. You know, Houston, or was it Houston or Dallas? Houston was just somehow or another propped up and put together by the Indians. Yeah, Houston. And then people say, oh, we go to the Houston just for money. It says, okay, well, oh, great, go to the whites for money. You got a plan? You know? All this thing, somehow or another, it's just like all the other first world. Oh, you know, India, oh, like that. But you have to remember, it was the seat of the emperor. So there's still something left here. And the people here, they can do. You know, you have that simple business guy, but he knows business. Then the government, there was a time when they nationalized everything, right, during the emergency. And so then everything starts to collapse, right? It collapsed in China, it collapsed in Russia. Why won't it collapse here? And so they started selling these things off. But because they were making absolutely no money, they're a complete mess, they sold them for very cheap. You know, because they can do nothing with it, well, you know, like that. So this guy is a regular businessman, nothing, you know, as special as that. He buys one of these things. And then, you know, he applies what intelligence he has. And within, you know, not too long, he's one of the biggest, richest people there is. So one should say, this is what's just left over. You know, that's what Prabhupada said. You know, the Vedic culture, you know, whether being done or not so nicely, it's still the burnt remnants. They say, oh, it's just the burnt remnants, but it's burnt remnants of the Vedic culture. So it's still a value. They can do so much with it, and they only are knowing this much. Imagine if we actually properly understand it. But the point is you need the purity. You need the devotion. Because otherwise, by karma, we don't have the position. And then you can do so much. And you see, all these devotees, they do amazing things. But it's not for themselves, so that's what's special. No? You know, so, you know, if we're being practical and objective, then why we wouldn't look this direction?
Nobody has taken any course for management there.
No, like that. I mean, you could go and observe them and write a book if you wanted.
They're giving courses now. Giving courses there.
Yeah.
No, there was a course. The VIHE. Straight speaking, strong. Straight thinking, strong speaking.
Jai Dwartamar. Yeah, these things have been there from before. Like that, before all these things. So the point is from our own philosophy and culture and all that, these so many things are there. It's just that people have a phobia of this. Right? Because it's conclusion. It's the way it is. Not, oh, I can pull this and that, put it together however I like. You know, it's like, I don't know how to cook, but I'm into fusion cooking. It's like, only people who are so expert can do that. You know, your top chefs, they can do that stuff. Because they know the principles of cooking. They never leave that. But we don't know. We just like this detail, that detail, put it together. Because there's no principle, it never works. So what to do? 2:12:45-56. Maharaj Prataparudra, in great anxiety, could not endure not seeing the Lord. Therefore, Sri Ramananda Rai, by his diplomacy, arranged a meeting with the Lord for the king. Sri Ramananda Rai frankly requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Ramananda Rai, you should make this request after duly considering whether it's befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say of the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. Ramananda Rai replied, my lord, you are the supreme independent personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you are not dependent on anyone. When Ramananda Rai addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu objected, saying, I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary human being. Therefore, I must fear public opinion in three ways, with my body, mind, and words. As soon as the general public finds a little fault on the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. Right? You know, so this has always been there. You know, in the name of truth, right? You know, that's it's standard. A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. Yes. It is always very prominent. Ramananda Rai replied, my dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, there may be much milk in a big pot, but if it is contaminated by a drop of liquor, it is untouchable. The king certainly possesses all good qualities, but simply by taking up the name king, he has infected everything. But if you are still very eager for the king to meet with me, please first bring his son to meet me. Mm-hmm. It is indicated in the revealed scriptures that the son represents the father. Therefore, the son's meeting with me would be just as good as the king's meeting with me.
So now it seems like diplomacy.
Yeah.
Sort of foot in the door, you know, first you got the cloth.
Yeah. Slowly. But then, you know, you see it's over. It's a whole... Because otherwise, it's a nice pastime between the Lord and the devotees. Because the point is he's setting the standards, he's setting these things. Because otherwise, if he doesn't, then what's going to keep everybody from getting... You know, it's like that. If there's some preaching opportunity, then maybe he's there. But one might also just get in there and be comfortable and things like that. And then not be preaching, not be doing things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that. I think there was a devotee, he married this big band lead singer. Like that. You know, and he was impressed with devotional service and was married and decided, I guess he was around or something like that, and married this guy. But he was just, you know, just got into just hanging out with her and she lost interest and I think divorced him and... like that, and didn't get very much involved in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they don't keep that dynamic kind of thing. So you have to be very careful. Because if you do this, then someone will be very careful.
Yes.
You know, yes. Like that. That's the whole thing, to be careful. Yes?
There's a nice pastime in Vedic, this one for... There was a guru and he was, like, you know, very well-known in a place. And then he had many, many disciples, very influential. And once he was going on a palanquin being carried by his servants. And then one apparently mad-looking man is in the middle of the road. And then he asks, I want to go to, heaven. I want to go to heaven. How can I go? And he's like mad-looking. He just... says, then you stand here and look up. You stand on the side of the road, look up, and then just stand like that. Just to get rid of him. And
so he'd move off the road.
Yeah, he'd move off the road. And he goes there, and this person, he's a he didn't fell down, but he was like lost in with his rich disciples. And then after many, many years, he comes on the same road. While coming back, then he saw a lot of group of people on that road. And then he saw this person still standing there. And then
looking at heaven.
Looking at heaven. And then when he saw immediately some plane from the hell coming, and then he understood what is happening. He immediately jumps down the palanquin and runs to catch his feet. And after he gets delivered, the guru also gets delivered.
Okay.
Hmm. Sometimes if we are having that whole, the pastime is told, but if you are so much comfortable, then though you as a guru may know all the things, but still you may miss the...
Yes, you may miss. So that's what Lord... Because we're dealing with pure unalloyed devotional service. Like that. You see those dealing in the realms of pure devotional service, then they're careful about these things, but they don't have as much difficulty because it's more official, it's more that, and because of that, then the differences between are very obvious. Here's the sannyasi or the sadhu, here's the king, and this. But with the Gaudiyas, then it's much more, those kind of borders aren't there so much. You have these positions for your particular service, but as far as your relationship goes personally, it doesn't matter. Like the two of them joined, you know, and they were good, best of friends like that. One takes sannyas, one gets married. But when they meet each other, they just deal as friends. They're not like here's the sannyasi, here's the grihastha. They don't do that. Like that. But in these other lines, then that formality will be there. You know, they might be more gentle on it, but the point is then it won't be. But in our line, you have to be a little bit more careful. Because otherwise, what's at stake? The other ones, you're going to Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. This one is you're going to Braj. And so that's pure unalloyed. So pure devotion, we take that as the basic position, and from pure devotion we get to pure unalloyed. Mm-hmm. But for them, pure devotion is the top, so that they're good. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So it's just, you know, what you're looking for. Yes?
Maharaj, in my service I need to deal with many rich people.
No, don't ask this question. You're supposed to take what I said, contemplate it, and work it out. You understand? Unless you can ask me something that's dealing on the principle of it or that, but if it's going to be the detail of it, it's not my business to work out your life. That's called, means we're supposed to remove the doubts, and then with that, then you apply it in your life, and that's called manana. That you contemplate, okay, how do I use it in my situation and this and that? Rather than, no, in my life I have to deal with this and that, and so is that all right or not all right, because here's... That's not. Your point is if it's engaged in the Lord's service, what's the problem? So you have to see how it's engaged in the Lord's service. Right? Does that make sense? So don't ask those questions.
No.
Okay?
You need some encouragement.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. Like that. No, he's here and that is good. I'm just saying is that but you have to take it the step forward. We had a lot of problem with that in previous years. People just immediately, just whatever came up, just want to ask. You know, it's interactive. Hey, it was nice. I talked. But that's the point. It's like liberation. It's about themselves. When it has to be not, it's got to be about how you're going to please Krishna.
Maharaj,
Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.78.36, it is said, Atma vai putra utpanna iti vedanu shashanam. The Vedas enjoin that one is born as his own son. The son is non-different from the father. And this is admitted in every revealed scripture. Like that. So that's the whole point. The father is born again as his own son. You see, we do believe in born again. So in this way, then, you're meeting the king, but no one will criticize.
Yes.
Like that. 212.
As we discussed, no rules apply to children.
Yeah, like that. There's no rules on how they step, how they walk, it's whatever they feel. Like. Yeah.
Who can they meet?
Hmm?
Whom they can meet, like...
Yeah. 2.12.57.68. Ramananda Rai then went to inform the king about his talks with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And following the Lord's orders, brought the king's son to see him. The prince, just entering upon his youth, was very beautiful. He was blackish in complexion and had large lotus eyes. The prince was dressed in yellow cloth, and there were jeweled ornaments decorating his body. Therefore, anyone who saw him could remember Lord Krishna. Seeing the boy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Krishna. Meeting the boy in ecstatic love, the Lord began to speak. Here is a great devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, upon seeing him, everyone can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I have become very much obliged just by seeing this boy. After saying this, the Lord again embraced the prince. As soon as the prince was touched by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, symptoms of ecstatic love immediately manifest themselves in his body. These symptoms included perspiration, trembling, tears, being stunned, and jubilation. The boy began to cry and dance, and he chanted, Krishna, Krishna. Upon seeing his bodily symptoms and his dancing, chanting and dancing, all the devotees praised him for his great spiritual fortune. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calmed the youth and ordered him to come there daily to meet him. Ramananda Rai and the boy then departed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda took him back to the king's palace. The king was very happy when he heard of his son's activities. Just by embracing his son, the king was filled with ecstatic love, just as if he had touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. From then on, the fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati writes, Yat karunya kataksha vaibhavam vatam. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply glanced at somebody for a moment, that person immediately turned into one of the most confidential devotees of the Lord. The prince came to see the Lord for the first time, but by the Lord's mercy, the boy immediately became a topmost devotee. This was not in theory, but in practice. We cannot apply the Nagna Matrika Nyaya formula. This states that if one's mother was naked in her childhood, she should continue to remain naked, even though she has become a mother of so many children. If a person is actually blessed by the mercy of the Lord, he can immediately become a topmost devotee of the Lord. The logic of Nagna Matrika states that if a person is not elevated on such and such a date, he cannot become an exalted devotee overnight, as it were. This particular instance offers evidence to contradict that theory. On the previous day, the boy was simply an ordinary prince, and the next day he was counted as one of the topmost devotees of the Lord. This was all made possible by the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful or almighty, and he can act as he likes. Right? Yeah. So it's a very important point, because this is made, that point's also made by this, what do you call that? Nagna Matrika Nyaya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaks on that. Because otherwise, that's why you have the point Prabhupada makes that someone may join after you, but they might become more advanced than you. And so you can't go as, no, but I made him a devotee, you know, he's not that. I mean, he used to, you know, steal the Mangal Arati sweets, you know, how can he be, you know, a temple president or a sannyasi? Or, you know, so many times I hear people are complaining about, this guy did this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, so he can't be. But the point is, you know, that's the thing, is at that time he wasn't, so he can't be now. And so that's the difficult, it's an important point to appreciate, is that by the Lord's mercy, an individual advances in Krishna consciousness. The holy name is potent, the Dham is potent, the deities are potent, the association of Vaishnavas, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi, these are all potent, taking prasad. So what's the problem? Right? So this whole thing is, no, it can't work like that. But it's up to the Lord how it works. So we have to be very careful about that. Because otherwise these things get in the way and cause so much trouble.
Sometimes devotees make it very difficult for someone. who's qualified to write.
Yes. Hence the prayer, I rise up. But unless you're black, you can't say the poem. So. Yeah, so that's just the way it is. But the point is, in one sense, Krishna is saving them. Because nowadays, rising up means managerially rising up, rather than just being devotionally rising up. You know, so if you're just chanting and all that, then everyone thinks, the guy's not, the guy's useless, you know, like that. So you have to see if Krishna says. But the point is that, you know, people can advance and all that. Yeah. 2:12:69-71. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Some of the prominent devotees, like Advaitacharya, used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his meals at their homes. The Lord accepted such invitations accompanied by his devotees. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Verses 72-150, cleansing the Gundicha temple. Right? Because then you're going to have that they all came. Then there was the Lord, you know, there was that, those that, then when the Lord goes, what was it? Anavasara? Like that, where he's not seen. Like that. And then he went to Alalanath. And then, but then devotees came there and after a couple of days brought him back. All these things. And so during that time in between, then he's a lot of these taking lunch at Advaitacharya's. Prabhu's house, or, you know, other things. So many nice pastimes are going on. This pastime we just had with Prataparudra Maharaj, like that. And so now then we're coming up to almost Rath Yatra.
Yes.
Right? The devotees are going to come before. They're not going to get there just on the day of Rath Yatra. You know, they're going to come before, and then, you know, 2:12. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first of all, called for Kashi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them for permission to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Srila Prabhupada. The Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indudumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. 2:12:74-1:27. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple, the Paricha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." Right? So even though he's a sannyasi, even though he's, you know, he's the supreme lord, he's just, like he says, just taking the position of a regular devotee. Yes. So he's asking all those who are authorities in the temple scene, Kashimisha, the superintendent, and Bhattacharya, if it's all right if he wants to have permission to clean Gundicha. Like that. It's not just, you know, hey, I'm here, you know, get this stuff done. Otherwise, he'd just stay in his place and they go and clean it.
Before Lord Chaitanya began to appear on the scene of Jagannath Puri, Gundicha Marjan was always taking place every year?
Of course it would be. Because for 1 year, it's not, I think, used. And then for Rath Yatra, it'll be used. So they'll naturally clean it, because the pujaris, you do everything you do, it'll have to be clean. Mm-hmm. But he's asking, may I clean it?
Right.
Otherwise, you know, the Jagannath pujaris and superintendents, they have their arrangements. Who cleans? I don't know who cleaned it and all that.
But he gave the meaning.
Yes. Like that. But otherwise, it's there. But then he reveals the meaning.
Right. He reveals. Yes.
Like that. Because these things will always be there, you know, like that. You know, some far out thing, then it's revealed what it is. Upon hearing the Lord's request for permission to wash the Gundicha temple. The Paricha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. "My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you." Right, because that's generally they bring in somebody would clean. You know, it would have to be people who are clean enough, or it might bring in some people that would clean, and then after that the Brahmins would go and do some purification and that. Because once it's clean, then they just purify, like that.
I think they have a group of servants who are from generations.
They do cleaning. Because who cleans inside the temple? Who cleans all around? Like that, they must have their people, because the place is clean. So then, you know. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. You wash the temple. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. Anyone knows how big Gundicha is?
When you enter, you need to go more in, but the temple itself will be cut into this end, this much.
Okay, so it's a smaller, but must have some
surrounding some
compound wall and everything like that.
They clean everything. And actually, even when the Lord is not there, that place is considered as a sthan of Lord. People come and just pay obeisances.
So it must be regularly clean. Yes. But Lord Chaitanya will set the, you know, as Prabhu said, he'll set the standard here, like that. He immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him, and, with his own hand, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleaned the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. Right? That was always the part missed out.
Yes.
I noticed that boys say, yeah, we did a real maha clean, got into everything like this and that, and then you notice cobwebs on the top. You know, like that.
Fans, cobwebs.
Yeah. No, it's always, you just never look up. You know? I had always the same problem. I told you that story about the bathrooms? For the GBC.
Yeah, the bathroom.
Yeah, the GBC, because the GBC would come, they'd stay in the Lotus building, in the long building, and that. And so, then I think I was, you know, it had something to do with the cleaning, so I was given, you know, the bathrooms that the GBC would be using. Went in there, scrubbed, clean, you know, really went for it and all that, so I was very confident that it's done. And then in the afternoon, Bhavananda Maharaj was sitting with Jagadish Prabhu. I think at that time he was maybe then. I'm not sure if he was a sannyasi then.
What year?
Would have been while he was still GBC.
He took sannyas in the mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
He took sannyas around 83, I think.
So it might have been a little earlier. This would have been more probably 70s. Late 70s and all that.
You took sannyas early 80s.
Okay. So then, because in my mind it just comes out as Jagadish Prabhu. And so then, I was going to say Bhavananda Prabhu, Jagadish, but then no, wait, that time was the other way around. So they're sitting out in Prabhupada's park on the bench there. And then, you know, I'm up there, and then Bhavananda Maharaj calls and says, Jagadish Prabhu says, the bathrooms are dirty. I says, no, I cleaned them really nice. He says, go look. He says, they're dirty. Right? You know, because I'm a brahmachari, I can say they're clean, but it doesn't mean they are clean. Right? You know, and the GBC said, it's dirty, it's got to be dirty. So I went inside, looked around, went stall to stall, everything, looked at everything, came back and said, no, I just checked everything. Everything's really clean. Then Bhavananda looked at me and he said, did you look up? he knew that was the thing, but first he was telling me it's clean, and then I went and would come back. Oh, I didn't know. No, I didn't even see it. Then I go in and I look up. Oh, it's such a mess. Like, serious cobwebs, you know, like, you know, been there like since time immemorial, kind of.
You did the same to me when I was the head cook in Vrindavan.
Ah.
And they told me, Maha Cleanup is coming to check tomorrow. I cleaned everything. You know how he walks.
Yes, yes.
And then he walks into the godown, he opens one container, it's a big wooden lid. I used to keep rice, and now he goes, and what's that? It was a little cobweb. How did you know? He says, I know this thing.
Bhavananda knows all, sees all. Did he tell you that one? Yeah, because he can tell by the vibe. You know, if you clean something, it's really nice. It has that bright effulgence and everything. So he can tell where things are dark and it's not clean.
Things come out.
Yeah, he can tell. So that's why he could go to exact spot. Even he's way on the other side. He looks out the whole area, and he'll go over there. And the devotees are always freaked out. It's that he never comes there.
Yes.
But that day that they're doing something they shouldn't, he walks right in on it, right at the moment they're doing it. Yes, so you've also experienced. And Prabhupada used to do that to him, go around and like that. So probably in the beginning he didn't look up, and then he got it, and then, you know, that was always the kind of game between the two of them. Is Prabhupada would look around to inspect, to try to find some dirt, and Bhavananda and Maharaj would try to clean it so there wouldn't be any. So yes, you got to take part in the parampara.
Another time when there was a North American GBC meeting in Dallas, so Tamal Krishnamaraj was the host, so he called me and he says, look, we've got all these big people coming, and we're going to have everything super, super clean. I said, okay, what do you want to do? I said, you're in charge of the toilets. You scrub those toilets before they go, when they get up in the morning, and you scrub those toilets before they go to bed at night. So that was my service, scrubbing the toilets for 1 week.
Right.
At the end of the week, so Maharaj asked feedback from the week of meeting and hosting. And so one sannyasi says, Maharaj, your kirtans here are fantastic. Maharaj, you know, your disciples are hosting us so nice. And says, Maharaj, your prasadam is amazing. And Kavichandra Maharaj at the end goes, Maharaj, you know, I've been to all the temples in America. Your toilets are clean. And TKG looked at me. Restored.
Okay. Yeah. All the others, you know. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Clean toilets. Very good. Hare Krishna. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.